Well, good evening. It is good to have everybody here. We do have several visitors. Glad you could be here. We have been studying, basically creation versus evolution, battle of origins. We are in lesson number 7. This is talking about the Bible and the age of the earth. As most of us know, when you talk about evolution, they say that the earth is about 6 billion years old. The universe is about 15 billion years old, and that man's only been here just for a few million years out of all of that. Of course, the Bible has a completely different outlook on everything. It tells us a completely different story. It says that the earth is just a few thousand years old, and man's been here since its beginning, at least day 6 of the creation week. And so, the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the evidence that points to the fact that the earth is just a few thousand years old. We ended last week by saying that present time back to Jesus is about 2,000 years. That's undisputed fact. This is the year 2017. And the calendar started with supposedly the birth of Jesus, although it may be off 3 or 4 years. But roughly 2,000 years. Like again, that's a stated fact, no doubt. If we go back from Jesus to Abraham, again, that's roughly about 2,000 years. And this can also be proven through secular history. So from Abraham to now, it's been roughly 4,000 years. The question then, how long was it from Abraham back to Adam? And that's what we looked at last week. By looking at the genealogies, we noted that the father's age was given when the son was born. And the son being the one that the lineage of Jesus would come through. They didn't list all the sons and all the daughters. They just picked the one that the lineage of Jesus would come through. We know that Adam was 130 years when he had Seth. So when Seth was born, it was 130 years after the creation week. Well, then Seth also had a son, Enosh. Seth was 105 years old when he had Enosh. So you add 130 to 105, you come up to 235 years after the creation week, Enosh was born. And you go right down the lineage because, again, God told us the age of the father when the son was born. So he just by adding up, we came up with Abraham to Adam is roughly 2,000 years. When you add them up, it comes out to 1,948 years. So when you think about the age of the earth, it's not millions of years old. It's not billions of years old. It is a few thousand years old. So that brings us to a total of 6,000 years for the age of the earth. And of course, this doesn't set well with a lot of people. That's not what they want to hear. And that's not what they've been told. And so the age of the earth is 6,000 years, but it does not satisfy a lot of people. Because they still want that old earth. Because without an old earth, there is no evolution. And they know that. So they say there are gaps in the genealogies. So they can't be trusted to give us the age of the earth. That's the excuse they come up with. Well, are there gaps in the genealogies? If there were gaps, where would you put them? We know there's not any gaps between now back to Jesus. We know there are no gaps between Jesus back to Abraham. So the only place you could have gaps would be Abraham back to Adam. And as we noted in our last lesson, from Abraham to Jesus was 55 generations. From Adam to Abraham was only 20 generations. So there's only could be gaps in those first 20 generations. And there'd be no gaps between Jesus and the time of Abraham. The only place there'd be gaps would be in those 20 generations between Abraham and Adam. And yet we noticed this last week, that there are not actually 20 generations available to insert gaps. And what do I mean by that? Well, Jude tells us something interesting in verses 14 and 15. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also. And we'll stop there. So the first part there, in verse 14, Jude's telling us what? Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. So he's verifying what we read in Genesis chapter 5. So the scriptures are telling us the first seven are accurate, without a doubt. So now that only leaves you about 13 generations where you could add gaps. Jude's statement provides us with a divinely inspired testimony regarding the accuracy of the first seven names as recorded in Genesis 5. So that leaves us only 13 generations where there could be gaps in the genealogies that would amount to anything. Let's look at our chart. We looked at this last week. This is showing you the generations from Adam to Abraham. It shows you the year from the creation week that they were born. Seth was born 130 years after the creation week. Abraham was born 1,948 years after the creation week. But we do know that from Adam to Enoch, that is accurate, without a doubt. So the only place you could have any kind of gaps would be between Enoch and Abraham. I don't care if you had 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 gaps in the genealogies in those 13 generations. You cannot come up with a few million years. Impossible. Jude 1:14 tells us that Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. That means the only place the evolutionists could have gaps to add their billions of years that they would need for their theory of evolution would be in the 13 generations between Enoch and Abraham. And that's impossible. Can't happen. Didn't happen. So there's a very small window for any gaps to be placed. And even if there was a gap in genealogy, which there isn't, there's no way billions of years could be placed in 13 generations between Enoch and Abraham. So the Bible clearly tells us that the earth is about 6,000 years old, without a doubt. Which proves that evolution is wrong. If the Bible is accurate, which it is, there's no way you come up with billions of years for the earth or for the universe. Not even millions of years. At the most, you're talking 6,000-7,000 years for the age of the earth. And of course, that's completely contrary to what we hear from the evolutionist. This is what Bert Thompson said. While it may be true on one hand to say that an exact age of the earth is unattainable from the information contained within the genealogies, at the same time, it is important to note that using the best information available to us from Scripture, the genealogies hardly can be extended to anything beyond 6,000 to 7,000 years. For someone to suggest that the genealogies do not contain legitimate chronological information, or that the genealogies somehow are so full of gaps as to render them useless, is to misrepresent the case and distort the facts. And that's true. If you're going to trust the Bible to provide for your salvation, why can't you trust the Bible when it comes to the genealogies? The chronology that God's put in place. As I stated, when he gave the lineage from Adam to Jesus, which is what the genealogies are, he could have just listed the Father and the Son, the Father and the Son, the Father and the Son. But he went one step further. He gave us the ages of those fathers when they had their son. He gave us a timeline. Why do you think he did that? You know, God's all powerful. He's all knowing. Do you think that he realized that somewhere down the road people are going to come up with this theory of evolution? He says, I'll give you a way to disprove it. Just add up the numbers. Yes, it may be off a few years, but it's not off millions or billions of years. Can't be. God has clearly spoken. The earth is thousands of years old, not billions of years old, as the evolutionists tell us. By honestly searching the scriptures, we have seen that the world is just a few thousand years old and not billions of years, as we're led to believe by those who teach evolution. If the world is only a few thousand years old, then evolution is not possible. Even the evolutionists know that. That's why they fight this particular topic tooth and nail. There is no way that evolution could take place in 6,000 years. One, there's not enough time to even comprehend it. And two, there's too much history to disprove it. The only place we don't have secular history is basically from Adam to Abraham. That's where the Bible comes in. That's where God gives us those genealogies. That's where God gives us those timelines, the chronology between the Father and the Son. We need to take God's word at face value and accept what it teaches and not twist it to fit a particular belief. And this is true in anything, whether we're talking about the age of the earth or whether we're talking about salvation or the Lord's church. Too many people want to take the scriptures and then twist it to make it fit their particular beliefs, instead of realizing what God says and then just accept what he says as truth. So we've seen that God's word tells us the universe is about 6,000 years old, while the evolutionist tells us it's billions of years. Therefore, the question before us is, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe man? And that's one question we all have to ask and answer for ourselves. I think everybody in here is going to accept God's word. Any questions, comments?
It seems like evolutionists like to look at the Bible sometimes to kind of get a little information there, but then they don't really believe it and all, but still they use that sometimes in genealogies. And also with the deal, has man ever produced like oil, crude oil? No. They say they know how this happened, but like you were saying in the last lesson, God created the world fully functional, fully full grown, and the oil was there then. But they have these theories and they just can't back off of them, I guess.
Yeah, we read some professors, you know, supposedly believe in the Bible, and yet they turned right around and said, well, we really can't accept everything the Bible says as fact. We've got science that disproves what the Bible says. You know, again, it's either God's word or it isn't. Either it's the truth or it isn't. The Bible isn't just part truth and part fiction. It is the truth. If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, which he is, he can have a book written, don't you think? And have it written accurately the way that he wants it written? If he can't have a book written and have it written accurately, then guess what? He's not God. Out of creation, the universe that he made, writing a book would be a lot simpler, don't you think? And I do believe he wrote down exactly what he wants us to know. And he put certain things in there for a reason. Again, the chronology, the Father, the Son, and the date that the age of the Father when he had the Son. Information that he didn't have to put in, but he did. And I believe for a particular reason, this right here, to show us evolution is wrong. No matter what they say, no matter what kind of studies they come up with, what kind of testing they come up with, the earth is only about 6,000 years old. We'd mentioned before, and we'll talk about this again, another lesson, the doctrine of apparent age, which means that when God created the universe at the end of that first week, how old did the earth look like? If scientists had their little test out and they measured everything, what would they say? That it's only 7 days old? Or would it show that it was maybe millions of years old? It probably would have showed that it was millions of years old. And one of the things I keep going back to is your starlight. Starlight is measured in light years. And yet, Adam and Eve were able to see the stars because they were there instantly. As we noted, the North Star takes about 400 years for light to get to Earth. Adam and Eve didn't have to wait 400 years for the light to finally hit the Earth. It was there at the end of creation week. Other stars are even further out than that. They were able to see it that night. So it didn't take millions of years for the light to get there. God put them there on day one. But yet, when you're looking back in time as a scientist, you say, well, it took a million years for that light to get here. Well, it would under normal circumstances. The creation week was not normal. It was a miraculous week. The redwood trees in California, if they cut one of them things down, it probably showed it was several hundred years old at the end of the first week of creation. God made the universe mature, ready to be inhabited and to be used by mankind. So yes, the earth is very young compared to what evolutionists would tell us. And this is one of the things that they really fight tooth and nail, because they know if they can't win that battle, they've lost. And so they have to do anything they can to discredit God's word. That's all they have. But God's word is true, it's faithful. And what he says is that we're only a few thousand years old. So that's the end of lesson 7, the age of the earth according to the Bible. So we're going to begin lesson number 8, science and the age of the earth. In our last lesson that we just finished, we saw that the evidence that the Bible shows that the earth is basically about 6,000 years old. And again, according to the Bible, there's really not much dispute in that. As we look at the science concerning the age of the earth, we're not going to come up with an exact age, just like we did with the Bible. We don't know the exact time. But we can say roughly. And it's the same thing when we're dealing with science. We're not going to be coming up with an exact age, but we're going to come up with a time frame. We're going to see that the evidence points to an earth that is thousands of years old and not billions of years old. When scientific evidence about the age of the earth is looked at objectively, we'll see that the conclusion goes against what we are told by those who believe in evolution. When we read Genesis chapter 1, we see that it speaks of creation taking place in 6 days with God resting on the seventh day. And again, we've looked at some of those, what we call compromise theories, people that said, well, I really don't believe it happened in 6 literal days. But we just proved all them wrong. Creation week was literally 7 days, 24-hour days. We noted that the word yom, for the word day, when put with a number, always means at least a 24-hour day. It can mean a little less, but it's not going to mean any more than a 24-hour day. So on the first day, day one means 24 hours. He also went through and qualified that even more, God did, by saying the evening and the morning were the first day. If you were wanting to classify a day, if you want to tell somebody what a day is, what would you say? We would probably say it's from morning to sunset. God's saying basically from sunset to in the morning. But that's the cycle that we have of daylight. So those days are literally 24-hour days. We know the Bible is true, but most people find it hard to believe the whole universe could be brought into existence in 6 days, especially since they have been bombarded with what evolutionists present as facts. And we've all seen those facts that they have. We've all heard it. I've mentioned before, I love to watch the History Channel, the Science Channels, and all that. But I don't think you can go through and listen to one of those half-hour or hour-long presentations without evolution coming up. And it's not even regarded as a theory. It's just fact. That's how they present it. Though it may seem like all scientists believe in evolution, there are actually some who believe that the Earth is young, thousands of years and not millions of years, and they look to science to prove it. Those scientists who believe in a young Earth do not consider themselves to be anti-scientific or anti-intellectual. In fact, they are simply following the scientific evidence to its logical conclusion. And that's what evolutionists try to say to us, those who don't believe in evolution. You're just not very smart. You believe in those myths in the Bible. They try to put you down. But yet there are scientists out there that don't believe in evolution. You don't hear about them a whole lot because they're not in the media. Because that's not the media's agenda, is to prove the Bible to be true. Their whole idea is to prove the Bible to be false, to place doubt in people's minds. There are also organizations of scientists who are young Earth creationists in at least 10 different countries, as well as in many areas in this country. Creation scientists say the difference between them and evolutionists is this. They say, we believe the Bible must take priority over scientific theories, while evolutionists believe scientific theories must determine our biblical interpretations. And that's basically what it boils down to. Those who believe in the Bible, those who believe in the young earth, look at what we see around us and then try to see how that fits in with what the Bible says. Evolutionists, on the other hand, just the opposite. They try to see what they see as far as evolution and then make the Bible twist it in a certain way to make it fit. And that's what those compromise theories that we were talking about in one of our earlier lessons, I think lesson number 6. How can we make the scriptures fit our belief system instead of how can our belief system fit in with what the Bible says? So again, it goes back to what you believe about the Bible. Is it true? Is it faithful? Is it accurate? Is it really God's word? If it is, then we know that what it says is true. And if something in science or that we observe doesn't fit what the Bible says, then maybe we're not observing it right. Maybe we're not interpreting the information correct. Evolution has been taught as scientific fact for so long that it's deeply entrenched in the minds of people, and it's a difficult challenge to change that concept. But we need to begin somewhere, so let it begin with us. Let's learn what the Bible says so we can present it to other people and show them that the Bible really is true. If people would honestly and sincerely consider the evidence, they would see the truth that the world is, in fact, young, at least young in the sense of millions and billions of years and compared to a few thousand. So let's look at some of the scientific evidence that shows that this fact to be true, that the earth is young. The first thing we want to look at is population statistics. And you may wonder what in the world that has to do with anything. Well, scientists can predict what population is going to be like, say, 100 years from now. Again, they may not have it down to the exact number, but they can give you a pretty good estimate. And so when we look at population statistics, it's a strong argument for a young Earth. Population growth can be determined by using formulas that give a reasonable answer to future population numbers. And the formula is, and you may want to get your pencil and paper out and take this down, and do your own figuring what the population is going to be like, say, 100 years from now. But this is the formula. PN, P is the population, and N is the number of generations. X is the lifespan of generations. And that kind of goes back to, remember we noted that from Adam to Abraham was how many generations? Only 20. And yet it consisted of about 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was 55 generations. That also came out to about 2,000 years. So if you know how long a generation is, roughly, you can come up again with a pretty accurate determination of the population. So you need to know the lifespan of the generations that are living. The number of children per family. Evolutionists say that mankind has been on the earth about 2 to 3 million years. By using conservative numbers for our formula, it gives us a population number of 1 followed by 5,000 zeros. So if mankind has been on the earth for 2 to 3 million years, as the evolutionists say, a conservative number is that right there. And to kind of give you an idea of how big that number is, there's no way the earth could hold that many people. In fact, it's been calculated that the universe is about 20 billion light years in diameter. And even as big as that is, the universe could not hold the number of people that is calculated by the formula for even 2 million years. That's a scientific formula for population. So if we've been here for about 2 million years, we would have covered the universe by now. And we're not even close to that. We're not close to covering the earth yet. So what does that tell us? One of two things. Either the formula is way out of whack, or again, evolution's wrong.
That's dying off all this time too.
But where would you bury all those people on the earth? The earth couldn't fill it. Yeah. People have been dying for 2 million years, that's true. But there'd be no earth left. There'd be no ground left to bury all them people. Even if they decayed, we'd fill the oceans. You know, like I said, if you can't fill the universe, or that's more than filling the universe, the earth couldn't contain it.
5,000 zeros, 1 billion is 9 zeros, and there's only about 7 billion
people on the earth today.
So 7 followed by 9 zeros is the population today. Mm-hmm. So
5,000 zeros is a bunch.
5,000 zeros,
I don't want to write that down, do you? Yes. Do you have a question or?
Yeah, that number actually does take into account people's deaths. Mm. That would be the people on earth.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is compounding effect.
Yeah. Yeah, it would not be everybody living at once, but it'd be how many.
Well, they wouldn't all be living at once.
Right. It'd be how many lived since 2 million years ago. But again, if the earth can't, or if the universe can't contain that number, there's no way the earth could contain that number.
No, what I was saying was actually that would be the non-people living at one time. It would not be the people that lived over that time period.
Oh, so they're saying that it's...
Yeah. That's the only people that actually be there at the end. Because it's just like today, we grow in increments, like from the beginning of Adam.
Right.
Then you have two, when two multiply, and then when you have millions multiplying, yeah, you get those numbers. And that would be at once, so it would just be growing.
That's a lot of people, no matter how you look at it. So, has man been here for 2 million years? It doesn't seem like it. Again, we haven't filled the earth up yet. And we've got roughly 7 billion people on the earth right now. Notice the following chart. Kind of hard to see, but this is the year 1000 right there. That's the population, 1000 AD. Roughly about 300 million people. How many people's in the United States? Okay. So less people lived in the year 1000 than what lived in the United States right now. And then notice how the population grows. It doesn't grow very much until about 1900. And then look what it does. Skyrockets.
Sometime in that last 20 years, we reached a point where there were more people alive than had ever lived.
Lived, okay. I hadn't heard that, but that's neat, yeah. Alive, yeah, that's neat. But the population's just growing almost out of control right now. And again, the population statistics, that formula, can predict that. In 1805, there was 1 billion people. By 1927, there was 2 billion people. 1959, 3 billion people. 74, 4 billion. 87, 5. 1999, about 6 billion people. 2011, about 7. 2025, there's going to be about 8. By 2050, about 10. And 2100, about 11 billion people. It's a lot of people. But you can see that once we reach that billion mark, it doesn't take long for the population just to keep growing. I'll also bring this up. We've talked about it before just a little bit, and we'll talk about it again in our next lesson. We'll talk about Noah. But the flood happened about 1,656 years after the earth was created. 1,656 years. Again, it goes back to the genealogies, goes back to the chronology, looking at the time frame. And so when the flood hit, the earth was about 1,656 years old. The people back then lived a long, long time. You know, it says that like Adam, he had Cain, Abel, and Seth. And then he had other sons and daughters. How many? It doesn't say. And all of those, it says the same thing. They had sons and daughters. They had sons and daughters. The only ones they wrote down were, again, the ones that were important to the storyline that God has written for us to go from Adam to Jesus. So how many people were living after 1,656 years? It was probably in the millions, if not a billion. We often think of the flood as affecting a few people. We know that Noah and his family survived. 8 people out of how many? We don't know for sure. But it was a lot. And so we went back from probably millions, maybe a billion people after the flood, down to 8 people. And then we had to start all over again. And this is where we're at now. About 7.5 billion people on earth. In 1650 AD, the world's population was about 600 million people. By the year 1950, it was about 2,400 million people. That means the world's population doubled twice in 300 years, at the average rate at once every 150 years. Currently, the world's population is doubling at a faster rate than every 150 years. And notice that chart again. Lois, back up here, this is year 2000. We were about 6 billion people. And now we're up here at about 7.5, right about there. But it's just stacking on top of one another. We're just growing faster than ever has.
What does it attribute to the slowdown up there you see it curving up?
Some of it has to do, they kind of calculating that the world's going to reach a point when. Yeah. Yeah. Be a food problem, probably a disease problem. And that, again, that's just estimates.
Mm-hmm. Well, our deer population getting diseased and, you know, all the time in certain places when they get overpopulated and, you know, and man's no different. We had a potato famine back in, well, I know it was in Ireland, but it was, I'm trying to remember, it was 1900s around there or somewhere.
Well, we've had.
We lost a third of the population.
We've had flu epidemics. We've had the plague. And part of that goes into their calculating, again, the age of the generations. They kind of average that. You know, some generations may live to be longer than others. They use that kind of an average that takes in these catastrophes that have happened to mankind over the last 3,000 or 4,000 years. But yeah, there's problems that have come along. A lot of people have died. You know, how many Jews were killed in World War II, among other people? Millions of people.
How many have been aborted in the last 4 years?
I knew that number once. I can't tell you what it is right offhand. Estimated anyway. Yeah, we've aborted a lot. And
life expectancy's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time when, you know, you're 40 or 50 years old, you're really, really old.
Now look at us
in the 90s. Now, 40 is not very old anymore. But one of the things about the abortion, just as a side note to me, you know, there have been a lot of great discoveries made. A lot of neat inventions that have come about that have helped mankind. We have probably prayed for a cure to cancer. Is it possible that God sent us the cure and we aborted it? Possible. Fruitful and multiply, yep, replenish. Yeah, it's just sad that we just take life so casual. Jonas Salk, you know, he solved the problem of polio. What if he'd been aborted? Holy oil may still have been a problem. We don't know. There's just no telling the amount of knowledge, the good stuff that could have been done by the people that we've aborted. Really sad. Well, part of it has to do, talking about the age of the earth or the age of the patriarchs. We've been noticing the other day when we're looking at those ages, I think about the youngest age that a guy became a father was like 65. Some of them was 182 and 187. Noah was about 500 years old before he started having kids. 500 years old. Wow. Oh, yeah, you know, and part of it had to do with the fact that when God created man, he created man perfect. He created the world perfect. There probably wasn't the diseases that we have today. And another thing that we'll study in our next lesson is the climate, the atmosphere that we live in is completely different than what it was back then. They live in a perfect world. Yeah, I can't imagine what it would be like to live 930 years. Wow. But they did. Okay, any other questions or comments? I know this is, for some of you, probably new information, probably information maybe you hadn't heard before. Especially when we're talking about the age of the earth being 6,000 years old. And then how do you come up with that? But the Bible gives us a lot of information. If we'll read it, study it. Most importantly, believe it. So yes, the earth is young. And if we're going to see in even science, it's going to tell us the earth is young. Population statistics, the earth is young. It can't be mankind been on the earth for 2 million years. Doesn't fit. Doesn't calculate out. And we'll look at some more as we continue on our lesson.